in Jesus' name. It's good to be here. I too was blessed with the service. I was triggered to think about the subject of growth. Here we are at the last little bit of 2025 and looking forward to a new year. That was part of my thoughts, or part of the trigger, I guess, to my thoughts. I was also inspired. Some of you know Brother Roland Ulrich, and he sends around these minister encouragement emails, and they're once a month, and the one for December was about growth. And so that inspired me. Maybe some of the inspiration will bleed through here a little bit this morning. I used to be bothered a little bit by this thing of inspiration. Probably still am a little bit, but inspiration is an interesting thing. It comes to us, probably especially to preachers. It comes to us, and then we're supposed to be inspired and share that, and it goes around. But I try not to be bothered with it too much now, because it is God-given, no matter how it comes to us. So this morning I'm thinking just a little bit, it's not really, but maybe a little bit along the lines of a council meeting session. Where am I? Am I where I should be with growth, with God? I was thinking about this parable in Luke. Probably won't turn there, but it just says a certain man had a fig tree planted in a vineyard, and he comes year after year seeking fruit on it, and he doesn't find anything. Is that how God finds me? It's got leaves but no fruit. Let's start by going to Proverbs 4 and verse 18. Familiar verse here. Proverbs 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. There's a solemn truth here about life. And I don't know how to say this, but each of us are on a trajectory, and we're getting more like what we are. We're growing more like what we are, or what we really are, we are coming to be. And I think about this, and of course I work with loggers, and several years ago this old logger said this, that we're getting older, and we care a lot less about what others think, was the was the point of what he was saying. And I thought about that. He was getting cynical. And that bothers me. Is that what happens when we get older? And I don't think it is necessarily. That's not what I see of everybody else. But what his point was is that we become more like what we are. Of who we really are becomes maybe a little bit more obvious. And that's very sobering for us to think about. We get to the end of life, and who do we want to be? Because it becomes less and less possible that we can change who we are. Okay, so that's beginning thoughts. Now, I thought about going through the New Testament and just looking at all the things, all the scriptures that talk about growth, but just there's too many. Can't do it in a message for this morning. So I'd like to go to Philippians to start with. I'm just going to look at a few. That few scriptures that talk about growth. There's some good ones all through the New Testament. Philippians 1. And verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That verse is a comfort to me, but it talks about the beginning work that God has started, and Jesus, he is going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, there's some more here, but verse 9 is where I'd like to start reading again. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the praise of God, unto the glory and praise of God. There's a lot of context there that we could look at more in depth, but this backdrop of Jesus doing the work, I think, is important, because if it's all up to me, it's probably not going to get done. I don't know how it is in your life, but that's how it would be in mine. Is if it's all up to me, it's probably not going to get done, but Jesus is behind it, and he will perform it. Now, the other thing that stuck out to me talks about knowledge, love. Let's see. I think love is in there. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in all knowledge and in judgment. And then being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. As we go through here, one of the things you're going to notice, that growth is connected, very directly connected, to knowing Jesus Christ. That is bottom line, and that is core to growth. Again and again, that subject comes up. And we could think about John 15. That's about the vine, Jesus, and you and I being connected to Jesus Christ. I think there's twice in there that he says, let's see, the one time he says, without me you can do nothing. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. Unless you abide in me, my words abide in you. I'm not getting it right. Maybe I should turn there. John 15. Thought I could quote that. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. That connection with Jesus Christ is key to bearing fruit and growing. So that Christ doesn't come and find our fig tree without fruit year after year. And that's something simple. That's something all of us can do. There are a lot of things that I can't change about me. There's a lot of things that you can't change about you. But there is one thing that we can do. And that's a great comfort to me, that we can draw nigh to Jesus Christ. And we can be changed. That's the only way we can be changed. Filled with the fruits of righteousness. Philippians again. Another passage here. 3 and verse 9 beginning. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Kind of the same thought vein here. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything, in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Some of the same thoughts there of knowing Jesus Christ and pursuing that. One thing that's a comfort to me in this setting, and I understand that this book was written toward the end of Paul's life and his ministry, and he's saying, I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived yet. And that gives me comfort. That's true for me. I haven't arrived yet. But he says, as many as of us as are perfect, let's keep this focus. Let's move toward a knowledge of Jesus Christ, fellowship of his suffering. Let's see, the resurrection, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Colossians is the next one that I'd like to look at. Colossians 1 and beginning in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And it goes on there. But this here gets a little bit more specific, and it talks about filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, if we don't know what God wants us to do, we will flounder in our lives. That is something that is very important. We need to understand God's will. And he prays here that we, the Colossians, but also we, might be filled with the knowledge of his will. In other words, know what God wants us to do. That makes us fruitful. You can think about it like this. It makes a person very unfruitful if they don't have any idea what they're supposed to be doing. It's true on the job. It's true in our Christian lives. If we don't know what we are supposed to be doing, it makes us unfruitful. Makes us wander aimlessly in life. The other thing that we can do is we can blindly forge ahead and keep on doing the same old dreary things, not finding life, and that doesn't help us either. But I would like to balance that thought with another thought that's here. Faithfulness. He talks about walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, there in verse 10. And faithfulness is just walking day after day. There is a very real part of our Christian lives that's just plain doing what we know to be right today and tomorrow and the next day. We just keep doing it. That's faithfulness. And along with that, then we increase in the knowledge of God. Again, there's this thought of increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Peter, I'd like to go to two references in 1 Peter, and then we'll move on to something else here. Again, there's many, many scriptures that talk about growth, but this one was actually the one that kind of inspired me. 1 Peter 2, and a few verses here, and then 2 Peter we'll go to next. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I like that desire there. And 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and ever and forever. Amen. Again, we have this knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Paul said it time and time again, that's what's needed. That is the thing that is needed. And Peter says it here as well. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there could be a lot of thoughts given. But here's a few things that I'd like to think about. I don't ever want to lose my desire to grow. I know that as I get older, there are some things that fade, okay? There's just a lot of things that change. Youth, that's one stage of life. But you go on through life, and there's just some things that aren't appealing, aren't attractive. One of them is getting hurt. I know that when I was a youth, it didn't bother me to get hurt so much. I would take risk and jump and roll and do all kinds of other things, play volleyball like my life depended on it and all that. I don't do that anymore because it hurts. There's some things that change, but there is one thing that I do not want to change, and that is my desire to grow spiritually. And even as we have a tendency as people to stagnate, to stop growing, to think, okay, we've arrived. The biggest enemy, I think I might touch on this in a bit, but the biggest enemy to growth is thinking that we have arrived, that well, this is as far as we're going to go spiritually. That's problematic. Okay. Revelation 9. When you get into the book of Revelation, there's a lot of context that is needed, but this chapter really blessed me as I thought about, and I got the title from here. The title is Green and Growing, and I'm not sure if I said that. In chapter 5, we're going to chapter 9. That's where I'm going to read from. But chapter 5, you have the Lamb opening a book, and there are seven seals on that book. So the seals are being opened, and there's things that happen down through that. In the middle of that, the servants of God are sealed. There was kind of a stop to the seals being opened, and they had to seal the servants of God. So you have that in the middle of that. Then at the seventh seal, then you have the beginning of the trumpets, and that's what is in chapter, 7, I think, is where the start of the trumpets is. And then chapter 8 is more of the trumpets. And then in chapter 9 is the fifth angel sounding. So you have these two back-to-back things of seven things unfolding, and that's how the book of Revelation is laid out. There's actually a third and a fourth, the seven thunders, and then the seven vials are poured out at the end. But the seven thunders are sealed. We don't know what that is. But it's kind of a repeating thing, and there's very clear similarities between all three that we have revealed. The fifth angel sounded. Let's read here in chapter 9. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Who was the star that fell? If we're not sure, it talks about down a little bit that his name was Abaddon in the Hebrew and Apollyon in the Greek, and that means destroyer. So just think about that. The star that fell is pretty clear. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit and the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was the torment of a scorpion, was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death. I'm not sure how much to read that here. It talks about the shapes of the locusts were like horses. They had the faces of men. They had hair like women. They had teeth like lions. And they had tails, and their stings were in their tails. It says that again in verse 10. They had a king over them, and that means destroyer. Already said that. Then you go on to the sixth trumpet. One of the things that just stands out to me here is that these were commanded, and I'm not sure who gave the command, if it was God or if it was Satan that gave that command. I don't think it was Satan, because I think Satan would really, really like to destroy every green thing. I think it was God that put a limit on these demonic creatures, these scorpion horse figures with man faces and woman hair and lion teeth. That's quite a picture. I think, I don't know if I should tell you what I think, but we are living in very close to this time. The world is getting darker, and there is a demon forces coming out of the woodwork. I think it's important for us to think about that. And that one way that we are going to resist in this dark time, we know it's dark if we think about it. We know that the enemy is coming out. And one way we're going to resist is by being green and growing. It says that they won't hurt the green grass. Now, I don't know if you got the desire there to grow, to be green and growing, from the 1 Peter reference. But when I read this and I think about this, there's nothing that I want more than to be green and growing, because I want to be on the right side. And it's important to me to think about, am I green and growing? There's a lot more parallels that we could draw here. One thing that I would like to point out is locust. It says that their sting of the locust, it was like or as locust. Now, I'm sorry, as a scorpion, not as a locust. The sting was in their tails. It was as the sting of a scorpion when he strikes a man. Now, scorpion's poison is different than, say, a bee sting or a spider bite or a snake bite or anything like that. A scorpion's bite, actually, I don't know what the term is that you... It has something to do with the brain, neuro whatever. But it affects the nervous system so that you lose touch with reality is basically what happens. It's not that it really hurts you in any way. It's not even really that the sting hurts that bad. But you lose touch with reality. And I think that is true of the devil's sting to man. The riches and the comfort and the ease of our day sting us. They make us lose touch with reality, much in the same way that a scorpion sting does. There's many other things here that would be parallels. All right. What can I do? To grow. I think we should plan on growth. And what I mean by this is a little bit more of the practical part of it. We need to plan on growth. The biggest enemy to growth is thinking that I'm okay. I already mentioned this, but it's thinking that I'm okay as I am. Plan on growth. Plan on changing. Plan on growing more Christ-like this year in 2026. Plan on it. And maybe some reflection is in order. Along this line, what can I do? What is my weakness? What would God want me to grow in? Maybe that's where some of this thing of examining ourselves comes in. little bit like we do at council meeting. What can I do? What is my weak spot? What do I need to change? And I think it's good for us to reflect on areas that we should change, and maybe even ask people around us, what should I change? What is an area you see that I should grow in? I think that can be a way that we can grow. I found it that way anyway. The other thing that I think is important to think about along this line, or the second thing that I have down, so the first thing is to plan on growth and then take stock. Okay, so we see that we have an area that needs growth. And we've been talking about growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do something about it. James says that. James 1:22, I believe it is. It's just good for us. These are familiar verses to us, but it's good for us to think about. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. It's very much down the line of what we're talking about here. You need to do something about it. So, I think this is important. When we want growth, we want to change something just big and drastic, right? We just want it all to change. That's not how change happens, particularly when we're talking about our own lives. Change happens in small increments. Growth happens in small increments. In fact, think about this. There's a tree, you know, that there's all these different variants in a type of tree. So there's a maple tree, but we have a lot around here. We have a lot of Norway maples. That's pretty popular, what you see in Chihuahua. But there's a silver maple that is also there. I've seen a few in Chihuahua as well. The silver maple grows extremely fast. It's almost in the weed category because it grows so fast. But in the windstorms, the silver maple is the one that breaks. The Norways, they very seldom break. Unless they have a lot of rot inside, they don't break. What I'm saying is growth happens in small increments. And if you can change how you do something, let's say growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, taking 5 minutes a day, break it into small increments, that's how you grow. That's how you change, is doing something daily, breaking it into a small piece. Small change, better small than not at all. That's something for us to think about. We do want to make changes that make a world of difference, but those changes will come in small increments, almost always. We sort of expect or we desire the life-changing thing, but that's not how it happens. That's not how growth happens. It happens in small increments. Another thing that I think is important in the practical is again, I mentioned it before maybe, but is to tell somebody what you would like to change. I think it's important for us. Accountability is actually very good for us. if we want to change and grow. It does a tremendous amount for us. And if we really seriously desire growth, change, we will be accountable. Shall we kneel in prayer? Thank you, Heavenly Father, again for your word and for its admonishments to us. Thank you that you have made it possible that we can grow and grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Just pray that you would help us, help me to find that growth and day by day to grow more into your likeness as you would desire. Just pray for each one that's here. We pray your blessing upon our lives. Give us wisdom and blessing as we try to understand life and to navigate through the changes that come to us. We pray this in Jesus' name.